Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here on a Thursday afternoon. Danny and Dusty, Jordan Schultz, Will Ortner in for Dusty here, who's on vacation. Jeff, probably still recovering from New Year's.
Happy New Year to Jeff, to Dusty, and everybody out there.
Jeff. I mean, speaking of drinking, maybe a little bit of Tito's now. He's taking bits of vacation and chilling out. So I was the one idiot who was like, you know what? I'll come back for Thursday and Friday. Why did I do that? I don't know. But whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much. And Georgia Notre Dame is currently underway right now. It is about to be 3-3. They make the field goal. He squeaked it in. It is 3-3. Notre Dame kicking the field goal with 8.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. An absolute barn burner of an affair. Boy, does this game suck.
Well, getting pushed off a day and being basically forced to stay in your hotels. I would say it affected both teams a little bit.
I think it was probably going to be like this regardless, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
We'd be remiss to not discuss what happened yesterday morning in New Orleans, in Bourbon Street, in the French Quarter, a terror attack on New Year's Day in New Orleans, as Shamsud bin Jabbar, now deceased, 42-year-old suspect, drove an electric truck around barriers and down Bourbon Street and ran over scores.
And he chose an electric truck for a reason.
Yeah.
He did more damage that way. It was awful.
It was quieter. It's got more acceleration, weight to power ratio, all those things.
He was intending to do maximum carnage, and it is just what a terrible, awful situation.
Yes. We have more about him at this point. It was 100% inspired by the Islamic State group, ISIS. It's a terrible, terrible place. The Odyssey family, they lost somebody in New Orleans.
Yeah. One of the deceased is a member of the Odyssey family. Yeah. We heard that this morning. Terrible news. And they found IDs in the French Quarter as well, which is what prompted them to postpone, along with this terror attack, obviously, prompted them to postpone the Sugar Bowl to today. And even some people were there saying, I think it was the Attorney General of Louisiana was saying that they would have felt more comfortable with it being pushed back even further, although you can't do that with the college football playoff scheduled literally for the next round, coming, a week from tomorrow, because then you start to get into days off versus days off, and then it's up.
And we have that audio. We'll go ahead and find that up.
You know, not my decision, but I would like to see it delayed at least another day. If they asked my opinion, I would tell them that. I think that it was a wise decision to delay it at least a day. This is an active crime scene, and, they just finished removing some of the bodies, and they still haven't removed all of them. And I still think that we probably need to wait an extra day.
Is there a further threat to the community?
No, I believe that the community is safe, and there certainly are a lot of law. There is a huge law enforcement presence here in New Orleans. I believe that everyone is safe, and the governor plans to attend the football game.
Okay, the whole press conference thing. Louisiana, do better. The whole governor's going to be there. Yeah, with a cadre of security, and if anything is remotely sideways suspected, they're going to rush him out the door.
Yeah, our governor is protected by the state police. Yeah. I would assume Louisiana has a similar setup, like they are not a normal citizen attending the game. Come on.
Beyond that, there's not many things I can claim to be an expert in. Counterterrorism is literally one of the few things I can claim to be an expert in.
Well, I was at the Boston Marathon bombing, so I would say I have a little bit of experience with this kind of thing as well.
I'm shocked that the game is going on.
Really?
As you heard the Attorney General, you still have bodies in the street.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, this. You can't have a secure crime scene right now. You can't have a secure scene right now.
Absolutely
not. You have no idea. You have no ramifications. You don't, like, when they made this decision yesterday, they did not know if it was a solo actor. They did not, like, you can't. You can't know, like, these kind of situations, when you talk about what we call TTPs, threats, tactics, and procedures, you don't know if this is the kind of thing where this guy creates this attack and with his, the sole purpose of drawing, you know, medical first responders into an area.
Yeah, attention from somewhere else, yeah.
And, well, no, just that. You draw that medical presence in, and then you have a second wave.
Exactly.
That's a thing we've seen conducted many, many times overseas. The idea that, well, you can't because the college football playoff, I don't care. I don't care about the college football playoff. I don't. Like, when you're talking about this stuff, I don't.
No, I hear you, but unfortunately, the argument coming from people that are backed by hundreds of millions of dollars is probably going to trump a question of safety, and that is what happened today. I don't know if they should have postponed it a day more. I guess I would like to see that, but ultimately, it's safety versus money, which in this world, it's an awful, awful situation that you're faced with, but that's literally what they're arguing about here, I would assume.
That's the thing is, Notre Dame and Georgia playing in this game, I can't imagine what that is for them right now because, as you mentioned earlier, they were under lockdown in their hotels, nobody in, nobody out.
Yeah.
Obviously, the heightened security being a real thing.
It goes from being like focused totally on a football game to being a little bit somber while focused on a football game. I would say it's an odd transition for sure.
And then you had the Tesla, you know, blowing up in Vegas. And whether or not that's, you know, it's intentional, wait, turns out there's explosives in the car, so probably was. And I mean, it's, you know, it makes it's, and then what isn't being discussed, I think, really on the news too much, because it just sounds like, unfortunately, it was just a shooting. There was 11, I think last count, 11 people shot in Queens, New York last night.
So that was a real headline.
Yeah, it was a banger of a day yesterday.
I saw headlines. There was like a possible hostage situation at a club in Las Vegas as well on X last night. At the same time, I saw the shooting in Queens, New York, or the news about that allegedly happening. Like, just a really, really bad couple of days. And it kind of heightened my fears a little bit, that's for sure. It was just so... I mean, I've been at the Boston Marathon. I was literally across the street when those bombs went off. Mm-hmm. And being down that corridor a little bit, basically right in front of the finish line as that happened, not really knowing what's going on, it's just a pure... It's terror. It is a pure form of terror, and I'm even having the hair stand on the back of my neck as I talk about it right now. I just... Yeah, this is awful, and prayers out to the family. I just don't know what else to say other than that. And I mean, we don't know if it's like a sleeper cell. I think some people are starting to wonder if this person was connected. They're saying possibly looking, at least New Orleans police are looking for, and this has been reported by many agencies, are looking for possibly two men and another woman connected with this. There were certain people on the internet saying, and this is just alleged, that the Airbnb where this man stayed burned down. I don't think that's been confirmed, but like we're going a little bit of deep internet conspiracy theory here. But it is super weird to hear all this stuff connected with it. And really, Dan, it's just unsettling. I'm not really sure where to turn here. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah, the official death toll right now at 14 plus the attacker puts it at 15 total. Just an awful day. And you never want to have these days. You never want to, you know, be part of this. And this is the first, you know, sports adjacent thing since Boston. And before that, the Atlanta bombing at the Olympics in 96.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of, you know, every Dodgers and Giants fight that happens at every game.
Sports are supposed to be fun. The entertainment away from all this crap in the world.
But The terrifying thing is this could have been worse because, you know, they did find IEDs on site. There's an explosive device that they did render safe. And then there was rumors yesterday of a loud bang and cops running down.
Yeah.
And you never know what happens in these situations. And, you know, there's Jessica Smetana, who is a Notre Dame fan. She works on Lebitard. Her and God knows how many Notre Dame and Georgia fans packed up and left.
I'm not
last
sure.
night because they were planning on leaving last night or this morning because the game. That's the other thing about this game is like, you know, you got to make sure you have the fans and all this, and it's like, I know how much we love sports, and I remember after 9/11 when we came back and Bush throws out the first pitch, and you know, it's the last time we really are, like, together as a nation, and all those kind of things, and how much sports brings us back together. But like, we waited. We made sure and took care, and like I just don't understand, and I can't comprehend why they're playing this game today.
It was definitely a challenge for some fans, I think, that had to just go back home because flights couldn't be changed, along with the sentiment. And I think if I were there with my wife and we were at an event like that, you know, having fun, and then something like that, a terrorist attack happens and we were planning to go to the game that day afterwards, no, you know what, we're just going to go home. So I understand that sentiment, you know, but like, along with that, not really being able to change their flights. And because of that, I don't know. I can't really see. I haven't seen much of the stadium itself or the seats at the Sugar Bowl, but tickets were as low as $11 going into today. Seemed like the market just kind of tanked because people wanted to get out of there and had to get out of there.
Yeah, I don't know how many people in New Orleans are rushing to go to the building when, you know, after that attack. But, you know, and you never know. Maybe people want to clear their heads and that's what they want to go do. I don't know.
No, everybody's different. It's so true.
But coming up next, tease this question in hour number one of the show. Oregon Ducks fall 41-21 in the Rose Bowl to Ohio State. What's next for the Ducks? What's next for Dan Lanning? And where do they go from here to pick up the pieces and progress into next year? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Every day is so wonderful, then suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I am beautiful no matter what they say.
The Oregon Ducks were 13-0 heading into the Rose Bowl, the number one ranked team in the nation. They fall 41-21 to Ohio State in Pasadena, the granddaddy of them all, and their season comes to an end with a whimper. You had the highest of highs you may have ever seen from the program outside of running to the national championship, and I think that run was probably a little bit more inspired than it was that, you know, from, I mean, what was it, week six of the Ohio State game? Was it week six, week seven?
Yeah, week six, I believe.
I mean, Oregon's been number one or number two since then, right?
Pretty much. No, as soon as they beat Ohio State, they were number one,
right? So they've been number one for more than half the season.
And we're number one, you know, at the start of the college football playoff rankings until the tournament started.
So I think it's very fair to call this season a disappointment. You can take away all of the good things that you want and say, yes, they did win the Big Ten. Yes, the recruiting is getting better. Yes, Dan Lanning, you know, managed to get over the hump and beat the big-time opponent in Ohio State. Yeah. All of those things are true. All of those things are true. It's still a disappointing season, is it not?
If I'm using the metric that I used for 2019 for the Oregon Ducks, which was Justin Herbert's final season, actually, the coordinator for Arizona State, was the offensive coordinator for Oregon at the time, Marcus Arroyo under Mario Cristobal. He was one of the reasons why they were not able to get it done to open that year against Auburn. All they did after losing against Auburn was get to the Rose Bowl and win it. That was the first time under Mario Cristobal that had happened, and so that was deemed by a lot of Duck fans a successful season, while at the same time I was saying, literally from week one after that loss to Auburn, no, it is is not a successful season because you've already done this. You've already seen this happen at an Oregon program. You need to see them win a national championship like you were making the point of the first hour, Dusty. Or Danny, sorry. My bad. Danny, Dusty, I'll just interchange you. But really, now to this year, if I'm looking at a 13-0 season, yeah, great. Big Ten championship, great. They've won conference championships before. They won the first Pac-12 championship game, if I'm not mistaken. Like, we've seen Oregon be at those heights before, and to not be able to get there to the Natty even, yes, it was a decent season for Oregon. They had a good season, but I would still say it is a failure of a season because you did not get that next chip, which was a chip.
Where are you at, Will?
I don't think it's a failure. You did something
I'm not a failure. I said it was disappointing.
I think it's disappointing because of when you lost, but I wouldn't say that it's disappointing. Like, if you went into this year and you're an Oregon Duck fan and I said, hey, guess what? You're going to beat Ohio State. You are going to beat Michigan.
You're going to win the Big Ten.
You're going to win the Big Ten. You're going to beat Penn State. The three powers that have ran that conference, you're going to beat them all. And then the other team that had like one or two victories, that's Michigan State. Oh, by the way, you're going to beat them too. You're going to be ranked number one at one point in the country. You're going to have a Heisman finalist quarterback. That's a successful season. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if your championship or bust at anywhere save for maybe Alabama when you had Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson when he was at his peak, or if you have a special team like Ryan Day, I do feel like with the losses that he's had this year, it has to be championship or bust because of what that team is. I don't think that Oregon was quite there yet. I don't think you were
there. I want to stop right there. Why do you think they weren't there yet?
It takes more time, I think. Dirt made a good point, and maybe this is me Monday morning quarterbacking or Thursday morning quarterbacking because I want to have a positive spin on it, but he went down the list of coaches and when they finally won their first title, most of them were at the same place for multiple years. And I'm talking like closer to 6, 7, 8 years before they won their first title. Now, it's a little bit different for Saban at Alabama, but when it took Saban a while to win at LSU, it took him 6 years. Dan Lanning's on year three. What you've seen out of Lanning each year is you went from, well, I don't know how this is going to go. I hope he's going to be a halfway decent coach to having you just outside of the Pac-12 championship game. I mean, essentially, you're a Bo Nix injury away against UW from being there. The next year, he gets you to that championship game, and if it would have been a 12-team playoff year that year, he would have actually gotten you into the playoffs. This year, he has you as the number one team in the country, and when you did beat Ohio State, who I do think will go on and win the national championship, you did it in a non-fluky way. You didn't get a bunch of interceptions against them. It wasn't a bunch of fumbles. It wasn't a freak thing. You had the dudes to beat them. Now, when you look at the advanced analytics, you need to improve this defense. This defense is right around 50th in the country, if I remember right. So as good and as much growth as that defense showed, Jordan Birch looked fantastic this year. Mateo Uiagalelei, he looked fantastic. I felt like Bryce Betcher had one of the better seasons for a linebacker, and PFF agreed with me, right? Your secondary was pretty good this year, but you had moments. When you played Ashton Jeanty in Boise State, he had big runs against you. When you played Penn State, they dominated the trenches in that game. And frankly, if your offense didn't play lights out, you wouldn't have won that game. So I feel like there is clear growth. And when you say that you're 13-0 and you're in the Rose Bowl and you're the number one team in the college football playoff and then you get housed by Ohio State, of course that's disappointing. But if you looked at that at the beginning of the year and I didn't tell you how the season went, I just said you won those big games and you end up going 13-1. I think most Duck fans would have taken that.
Do you think so?
I don't know, man. Hearing that my team isn't going to show up in the biggest game of the year in the biggest moment.
I'm not telling you that's when they didn't show up. I'm saying you went 13-1.
I know.
13-1.
Okay. But That's why I think I'm going to push back a little bit, because I think when you come into the season, at worst they were number four, right, in the polls.
I thought they were third at the start of the year. They were number three. Right?
Yeah,
no, I'm saying at worst.
Your worst was.
Oh, I think like coaches poll. Sure, they were four
or five. You ended up at nine at one point in the year, and then obviously.
But I'm saying coming into the season, I think expectation was you were a national title. If you were in the top four, you were a national title contender. Yeah. We kind of went through like how many teams legitimately have a chance to win a national title. That was when we came into the season. It was like, you know, Georgia, it was Texas, it was Oregon, I think Notre Dame was the last team that Dusty and I had in there. I think they started the season sixth or seventh.
Yeah. But Ohio State was on there as well.
Ohio State, Alabama, like you looked at it and you went, I think Miami. Miami was up there as well.
Yes.
And I mean, if they had.
And Florida State, technically, which we all saw how that went.
Well, it could be worse. You could be Miami. They didn't even make it.
Yeah, where you're. But, and again, I think you are. I'm not trying to kick you while you're down. I think you are a money quarterback in this, in a little bit of like trying to find the good in this, because this is kind of what I was trying to say last night when Duck Fad got all mad at me. You have elevated to the point where title or bust is the thing. Like, yeah. If you're at Michigan, if Harbaugh doesn't do what he did last year, is he around much longer? Like, and I'm talking about the sanctions. Just take that out of it. Like, remember, the year before they were going to fire him. They made him take a pay cut. Like, this is like that was their guy. And it wasn't like he was there for 10 years. You know, it's like, was he there for 6 years, 7 years?
It took him 6 or 7 before he finally won that natty. So, yeah, that was part of it.
But before that, they were going to fire him 2 years ago. They cut his pay. What was it? Basically in half, wasn't it?
They were going to get rid of him because he lost. He always lost to Urban Meyer. Yeah. But then, as soon as they decide not to, COVID, they don't play that Ohio State game. They don't have the reason to fire him. His monster that he'd been slowly creating finally gets created. He has the quarterback, right? If you're disappointed as an Oregon fan and you're a championship or bust Oregon fan, I understand that, and I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm always going to try and have a positive spin on it. And I think you're moving in the right direction. And I think
we agree there.
And I think at the end of the day, there's going to be about 7 or 8 teams that think they have a legit national championship shot that are going to be disappointed at the end of the year. Here's the thing, though. So you played Ohio State. We don't know this for sure. They still have 2 more games left to go. But let's say Ohio State wins the national championship. Does it make it less disappointing if you lose in the semis? Does it make it less disappointing if you lose in the finals?
I think so. With the way this is, I think it does.
You got to lose to Penn State and you don't win the Big Ten.
Well, if you're talking about the bracket, sure.
Right.
But I'm talking like, let's say they beat Ohio State and then next round they lose to Texas. If your season is beating Ohio State twice, winning the Big Ten, beating Penn State, I think then you actually like, you know, you go, hey, man, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And it always depends on how the loss goes. Like,
right.
I think the big part of this isn't just the loss.
The butt kicking hurts.
That's the part. Yeah. It's like, you didn't get beat. You got embarrassed.
You got boat raced. But if Ohio State wins the natty, then as a Duck fan, I will feel slightly better. Okay. Because you just came up against a freaking buzzsaw. And, yeah, you got boat raced. But it's still ultimately a disappointment and then a failure. I think those are two different words. Yeah, Danny, you said disappointment. I say failure. I am happy about the good things of this Duck season, but I will still call this overall, and I'm not doing it like, you know, fists up in the air screaming, but I will say it is a failure because that notch in the Ducks belt still has not been filled.
It's the one you can't, it's the checkbox you can't get, it's the mark you haven't put down, you know, if you're talking about notch in the bedpost, whatever euphemism you want to use for that, like that is the giant flashing neon sign of like, you've got a Heisman winner. Like recently, you've got, you know, multiple NFL guys. Your recruiting classes are in the top 3, top 5 every single year. You've got the good young head coach. You've got the PR. You've got the social media. You've got the money backing. You've got your NIL in order. You've got the wins. You won the conference. Like, you run down the list of things the Ducks have done. They have literally checked off every box except for the one that matters the most. And if you're going to kick down that door, you can do everything else. You can do everything else, and it will not matter to get into that club until you win that game. For me. And I'm not saying that nothing matters. I'm saying that nothing matters to get into that club. That's the thing. It's like all the things that you're doing leading up to it, they mean something. They do. Because you need to get to that point. You don't go from where they were in 2003 to where they are now without building that up.
Yeah.
But in between, the thing that gets you in the club, gets you in the VIP, is that Crystal Trophy. And they just don't have it. 503-864-6326. We'll wrap up the whole Ducks Ohio State conversation with your comments coming up next. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
We were talking about dancing earlier, Danny. This is a song that I dance to. I did not discover Tootsie Roll, which was like from 1994 until I was like 24. So love that song. Tootsie Roll is one of my
Are you Tootsie Rolling? Isn't that the dance?
It's the dance. I can't do it very well, but I'll try. I'll look bad doing it.
Oh, hey, look, another field goal in Georgia Notre Dame. It is now a 6-3 Notre Dame lead with 38 seconds to go in the first half.
I bet the over of 46.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Darn me.
Wouldn't have touched that line.
Ooh.
You did have a chance to void your ticket, didn't you? No, you seriously, the depending on who you bet with, all tickets were voided. Yet almost, I should say, not all. Most tickets were voided after the attack yesterday.
They did not give me an option.
Oh, okay.
But I do offshore stuff. I'm with Bavada.
So. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
they're yeah, a little. They're a little more.
I don't
yeah.
care.
No.
Bigger Ford text line. That's what makes this season a disappointment even more so because of how they went out, going 13-0 and then losing in that fashion, and not even getting out of the quarterfinal after a first round bye. Duck fan since 95. That matters. Shout out to you. And I mentioned this last night to a buddy of mine who's a Michigan fan. I go, old-timey Duck fan, one of the best fans in college football. Old-timey Duck fan has been murdered, killed, stepped on, thrown in the wood chipper, brought back to life basically more than damn near any fan in college football. Like, you can't kill them. They're already dead. They have been up there with Cooging it, Clemsoning it, watching the worst things happen to them, and then watching their team kind of like crawl out of the ashes to what they are today. There is a real appreciation. New money Duck fan, I hate you. Period, point blank. I don't like you at all. You're one of the worst fans, not in college football, in sports. Shout out old-timey Duck fan. Born in Eugene, 100% disappointed at the end of the season and do not see it as a failure. If we had not had the coaching turnover or Lanning was on year six, I would see it as more of a failure. He is young, growing, and building. I think that's kind of what one of your points was, Will.
It's a valid point.
Oregon needs to move on from Tosh Lapoy as a coordinator. He's a recruiter, not a play caller. And with the Nike backing NIL budget, the program will largely recruit itself. Look, the whole it will recruit itself thing, look, I was guilty of that. I thought when USC got Lincoln Riley, that sleeping giant was just going to recruit itself.
Texas pipeline right to USC.
Well, I mean, just keeping our guys in the backyard at Matter Day
too,
and St. John Bosco and being the pipeline that we've been there for.
Well, it might be that if your head coach would go and recruit that area.
But that was the thing. There was an arrogance in that of like, hey, we're back and it'll recruit itself. No programmer will recruit itself. None. Look, USC is a crown jewel in Los Angeles. It's one of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country. And I don't care if like, well, USC hasn't been good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, people just want to go to USC because of USC.
Well, prestige doesn't matter anymore in the world of NIL.
But that's kind of my point. Nothing recruits itself. Yeah. If USC in Los Angeles, that's not me being arrogant USC guy, that's just knowing reality. Eugene is not the fertile recruiting ground of Los Angeles. Like, that's two very different spots.
Oregon has lost out on so many recruits to USC because of what you're talking
about. Yeah, and if it doesn't recruit itself, nothing does. And I'm not saying that Oregon needs to, like, get away from, you know, not get away from Tosh Lapoy as a play caller. I think he's invaluable as a recruiter. I mean, I've seen the recruiting evaluations that have basically said over and over again that, you know, Tosh Lapoy is one of, if like not the best, you know, like top five recruiters in the country as far as like closing the deal. But, you know, I've seen more than a few people in college football who over the past, you know, less than 24 hours who said that, you know, Tosh Lapoy and defensively the Oregon Ducks got out-schemed and outclassed.
They did. I would say this on the Tosh Lapoy hate. You know where the biggest growth in that defense has been since he's taken over? It's been on the defensive line. Do you know what position group he coaches? The defensive line. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the growth in Mateo Uyunglele, yep. When you talk about Blake Purchase, when mm-hmm. he was able to play last year, obviously he took a red shirt their year this year.
Casey Rogers.
Right, Casey Rogers. Derek Harmon, mm-hmm. Caldwell, Jordan Birch even, yep. right? So when you have the growth and, oh, wow, the defensive line, it's getting to the point where you can talk about it as one of the best defensive lines in the country. Just remember, that's the position room that he runs.
Yeah, maybe the thing that is, he's the recruiter and he's the defensive line coach. You know, I don't know if that's a way that they want to go about it, but if you're going to consider making a change, maybe that's something they do. I don't know.
Or play calling goes to somebody else while he retains the, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I mean, that. This, you know, demotions typically don't happen with you staying on staff.
It's not impossible,
but... You know, I think it's something you have to consider.
I'm not sure that getting play calling duties removed from you is necessarily a demotion. Like, it really is a different hierarchy, I feel like, with different programs in college football. It just depends.
This team was expected to play for the national title. Period.
I mean, yeah.
And I think that's true. Another one here. The expectation at the beginning of the year was that they would win a title this year. They had everything queued up and ready to go, like Danny just outlined.
To that point, yeah, when you have season after season saying, hey, this is the expectation to get to the Natty and you don't even get within two games.
But again, if you lost to Ohio State and let's say Ohio State wins the national championship, you would have lost to the eventual national champion.
Exactly, and that
doesn't
takes the sting
that take the sting away?
Now, I'm not going to tell you guys how to fan. That to me has never mattered. I look at that and like... basketball one's the easy one for the Blazers. There's twice they went to the NBA or they fell short. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, but that's a little different, isn't it?
It's not though. They're the second best team in the country or in the NBA. They would have if they beat the Lakers in Game 6. They're going to win the NBA Finals. They're going to absolutely mop the Pacers. It's not even close. Like that was it. Like,
no, but the egregious way that they dropped the lead of 16 points, which then was like 30 in the NBA.
But my point being like. The whole idea of losing to the team that eventually won the title, I don't care about
it. I got you.
If anything, it's more frustrating. It's like, we were there. We had an opportunity. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if Oregon had, let's say the bracket's different, and Ohio State's on the other end of the bracket, and you lose to Ohio State in the national title game like this, do you feel, or you lose to a team, you lose to Texas in the next round, and Ohio State's on the other side of the bracket, and Ohio State wins, and you're like, well, we beat Ohio State at home. It's like, no, if anything, that pisses me off. That makes me go, we beat them. How the hell? Let's say the same score, 41-21. Ohio State beats Texas in the national title game. And you're sitting there going, and it was the same, not the same score just line, but like it was over in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're an Oregon fan at that point in time, I'm livid. I'm looking at that going, we beat Ohio State. We handle business. Like, how did we let ourselves fall to this? Like, that's how I look at it. Like, Will, you're looking at it from the other side of,
right.
Hey, you know, we lost to the team that was eventual national champion.
Yeah, well, and then, like, by my own calculation, if Ohio State loses to Texas or they lose to whoever comes out on the other side, then, yeah, you're probably more furious. It does feel like, again, Thursday morning quarterback, you beat the team that I think will win the national title. So you know you're right there. You just have to finish. It feels like to me then that you would have to look at the coaching staff. Is it a fluky thing on recruiting or does this seem like the new trend? Seems like the new trend with the way that Lanning has recruiting. It takes time. It takes a little bit, right? I think that there's a chance this might be the last time you see a team this deep in Ohio State with how strong they are with the NIL and the transfer portal being open. Guys don't want to wait around. Guys,
no.
Guys want to move. They want to be starting.
They want to play and they want to get their money.
100%. So, will it get easier to win a title? Possibly. I also think that you kind of have to go through your growing pains. How often do you see a team just start up and instantly they win a title?
Here's Whether it's, but I mean,
they lost.
But I'm saying that, right. Like it's
Alabama.
But it's also it's so rare.
Right. Like,
it's,
that's true.
It doesn't happen.
No, I was being sarcastic. For anybody who thinks I'm saying that, I was being sarcastic. It doesn't happen.
And even when it does, Alabama wins quickly. Well, why'd they win quickly? They had Nick Saban.
Yeah.
It still took him a couple years, and he was already a national championship coach. So when you have a coach that hasn't won a national title yet but has coached in it or has won as like a defensive coordinator, it
and
takes
again, it's only
time.
Like, this is not me making an excuse for Oregon. This is this is why the whole it's so hard. There's currently three coaches in college football who have won a national title.
Yep.
That's it. There's three active coaches who have won a national title. It's tough. And you've got a new group of coaches in. Like, that's where you are. Like, you look around college football, Lanning's, what, 38? Dilley's 33? Marcus Freeman's, like, what, 44?
Yeah, they're all younger guys.
I think Freeman's younger than that.
Yeah, I think he's, like, barely 40.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I thought he was right around my age. That's why I said 44. I'm 42. But, I mean, like, you take a look at college football, it's very young.
He's 38.
God, is he really? He's younger than
Freeman's 38. Wow.
There you go.
But it was, again,
energetic guy.
To my point.
Yeah.
So these guys are all having to learn. Like, I think we're so used to Dabo because he's been around. He's been at Clemson for what, 14 years?
Been there a while.
Yeah,
like he's been there forever.
We're used to the Mike Gundys of the world that have just the legacy 40, guys.
It's like, yeah, he's like 54 now.
And it's like, you've been there since forever.
Yeah, it's like, I think Gundy's like one of the second or third longest tenured coaches in the country behind Ferentz and Whittingham.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but you have so many of these young coaches, and yes, they need to go through the trials and tribulations, and yes, you need to prove it. But in today's world, I don't know how many years you get. That's the thing is like, and I'm not saying that Oregon should move off of Lanning. If anything, I think Lanning is the best thing they have going. I think Lanning's one of the five best coaches in the country. I genuinely do. I think his culture, I think his mindset, everything behind it. Beyond the two reasons I've believed in Oregon more this year than ever, and anybody's ever heard and has heard me talk over this, like, well, you can attest to this off the air. I have not believed in Oregon. It's been smoke and mirrors for 15 years. Their coaching and their recruiting is getting on and matching the levels of Blue Bloods. And that, to me, is the thing that I bought into this year. And they should not make any moves in Lanning, for the love of God. Anybody calling for that, they should not. They absolutely should not. Any Oregon fan would have been happier with losing a couple season games and going on the national title and winning. I mean, it's a total disappointment.
That's
true. I think the general consensus is that this season, from the one I can see on the fans here and on the Vancouver Ford text line and YouTube comments, is that this season was a failure.
Well, and I heard Joel Klatt make the point, too, that and I agree with him, that the regular season essentially didn't matter with Oregon coming in 13-0 and then losing in the college football playoff, and there was an attempt to try to make it still matter, you know, in expanding it from 4 to 12 teams. There's always been like, okay, we've got to continue to keep the integrity of our regular conference season actually in place. But unfortunately, the way that things were stacked this time around, the 13-0 mattered not. Oregon was off for 3 weeks. Did that affect them? I don't know. Was the game plan from their coaches not good enough? Yep, probably. But here we are.
Quick correction. The shout out to the Vancouver Ford text line. I totally forgot. Mac Brown got fired. There are only two title-winning coaches currently active in college football.
Yeah.
Dos.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick took over for
old
Mac.
It's hard. I will say this. I think there will be a change in how the format. I think you're going to get at least two, possibly four teams. And I think...
What do you mean?
To the playoffs. It's going to go to 14 or 16.
Like 12.
Teams. Within two years. Yeah. I think
the biggest thing is going to be is the seeding. I think that's the biggest thing that's going to change.
That's going to change. I would assume that would
next
change
year.
Within the next year. Yeah. But remember, this playoff format is only set up for 2 years.
Yeah.
And the SEC and Big Ten, they're going to start swinging their you-know-what around.
I tell you what, though. The SEC is going to have they're going to be swinging around in a tight room because they have gotten embarrassed.
They have gotten embarrassed. And no one has loved that more than me.
Telling you right now, Notre Dame just scored a touchdown before going in the half. It is 13-3, and you're going to, oh, Gunnar Stockton, no Carson. Carson Beck has been garbage this year.
Yes.
You know, we're up against it. Well, let's wrap up the show on that. Coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
The SEC cried wolf a ton heading into the college football playoff and bowl season.
Bunch of bitches.
I don't know if they have got anything else to be able to complain about. They're going to need Georgia and Texas to really, really pull their weight here and push into the college football championship final. Otherwise, they're going to have to sit there, much like Oregon fans right now, and just sit there and shut up.
No, but Danny, Georgia has a backup quarterback right now.
Cool. Notre Dame's playing without a quarterback. Riley Leonard's not a quarterback.
He actually threw a touchdown, by the way. That at the end of the first half, that was a pass from Riley Leonard.
Which was insane. But my point being is like, look, man, everybody's dealing with something right now. Ohio State, I saw Duck fan, well, we lost Jordan James and Evan Stewart weren't playing, and I'm like, Ohio State's playing with their starting center and starting left tackle. Like, this point in time, everybody's beat up. Everybody's going up against it. Everything's up against it. Texas is about as healthy as it gets. The only guy they're really missing is Isaiah Bond, who is the number one wide receiver. It matters. But they got it done. They beat Arizona State. But if the SEC comes out of this, if Notre Dame wins this game, and heaven forbid Ohio State wins that game against Texas, and all of a sudden the SEC is just completely out of it across the board, and they're losing all their bowl games, what are they now... 2-5? 2-4
Sounds right.
In bowl
Let's
season.
See. They
Alabama lost.
Alabama lost. South Carolina lost.
Yep. USC beat.
A&M lost.
A&M. That's three.
Has Florida played yet?
I can't remember. I mean, you know, God, I should have pulled this up. My point being, they were at one point in time 1-4
Right. So
Texas won. That
so now they have two. Those are your two wins. Okay. So my argument on why they'll start swinging in the college football playoff is because they have the money to do it. They're going to be your most expensive conference, and so is the Big Ten. And Sankey was already upset with how this got handled. There's a lot of chatter, at least from the different experts that I listen to, that are saying the SEC wants automatic bids for three or four teams in their conference, and the Big Ten does too. And don't be shocked if the move isn't necessarily to a 16 team, but to a 14 team, so that the SEC winner and the Big Ten winner get their bye.
Okay, so the games that have taken place for the SEC so far. Florida did play Tulane. They beat the brakes off them because, remember, Tulane didn't have anybody. Texas beat Clemson. Ohio State beat Tennessee. USC beat A&M. Navy beat Oklahoma. Vandy squeaked one past Georgia Tech. Remember the game there? And then Arkansas beat Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then Missouri beat Iowa. But Michigan... The 8-4 Michigan Wolverines beat the number 11 Alabama Crimson Tide.
And Jalen Miro is gone. Did you see, by the way, that video on Twitter going around of a very, very astute college football fan pointing out that Jalen Miro was tipping his passes? Anytime that they were running a passing play for Alabama, Jalen Milroe would stand with his feet kind of like wedged apart a little bit, like offset from each other, and a run, they'd be lined up perfectly with each other, like shoulder to shoulder. And it was a perfect, like, every single play that this guy pointed out, yeah, when his feet were just, shoulder-width apart next to each other, it was a run, and when they were offset, it was a pass. It was like, whoa, Jalen, I can't believe that the opponents have not picked up on that all season.
Yeah, it is what it is. He's heading off to the NFL. Duck fan, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be frustrated. It sucked. Look, as much as I rail on Ducks, I didn't want that for you yesterday. That's a bummer. Nobody wants that season to go out that way. I'll be back tomorrow. Dusty will be back on Monday?
Yeah, we're flip-flopping.
Yeah, these two guys are going to flip-flop. It'll be Danny, Will, and Jordan tomorrow. The Portland Trailblazers take on Los Angeles Lakers here at 7:30 tonight. We'll catch you all later. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Isaac and Sue coming up next. Prime time. I don't know who's in.
I think they're all here.
Hey, everybody's back. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Bye.